This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وبارك على سيدنا محمد في الأولين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد في الآخرين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد في الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Adam alayhi salatu wa salam came into this world and he found an enemy. This enemy existed before him, and he was righteous, pious, but his righteousness and piety was the cause for his arrogance. Consequently, when he was commanded to prostrate to Adam, he refused. He did not do like Adam. Adam also disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he recognized his sin. He admitted his sin. No, Satan insisted that his sin was justified. He halalized, made halal his sin. Consequently, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed him. And subhanallah, when he requested the respite, which is known to be andirni, an-nadhra, the time until the day of judgment, he did not utilize this time to repent and go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather to carry on with his evil and to prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Adam and his offspring do not deserve the status granted to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال ربي بما أغويتني لأزينن لهم في الأرض ولأغوينهم أجمعين. I will show you, O Allah, that Adam and his offspring do not deserve the status you given to them. Basically, Adam came into this world, we came into this world, and we found that Satan, Shaytan, who is from the jinn, and those who also chose to disbelieve from the jinn are our enemies. Even though we know that they existed before us. Why? What did we do to earn this animosity? I don't know. You don't know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly stated to us, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Shaytan is your enemy. Treat him like your enemy. And he is very dedicated. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that every day, well, hadith, fi sahih al-Imam Muslim hadith, Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma, every single day, shaytan yada'u arshahu ala al-ma. In the morning, he has a throne and he places the throne on water. You see, he saw the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala up there. The throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also above the water. So he wanted to take a throne in earth similar to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there he, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَضَعُ عَرْشَهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. Then his saraya, his brigades from his race, the jinni from his race, those who chose to disbelieve, they will come reporting to him. And he will give them the incentive in the morning. And he will say the following, مَنْ أَضَلَّ الْيَوْمَ مُسْلِمًا أَلْبَسْتُهُ التَّاجِ. Whoever does the best job today in misguiding a Muslim, I will crown him with my own hands. And we learn that at night, every day, this happens every day, he does not take a day off. Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, was asked, أَيَنَامُ إِبْلِيسِ. Does Iblis sleep? Does Iblis sleep? قَالَ لَوْ نِمْنَا لَاسْتَرَحْنَا. If he takes a nap or something, we'll get a break. He doesn't sleep. So at night, he doesn't take a day off. No Friday off, no Saturday off, no Sunday off. Every day, that is his routine. At night, all the jinni who've been working throughout the day will come reporting their achievements for the day, and those who will go for the night shift will be motivated, and he repeats the cycle every single day. Hadith Sabra ibn Abi al-Fakih radiyallahu anhu, akhrajahu al-Imam Ahmad, qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna ash-shaytana qa'ada libn Adam bi-atruqih. Shaytan is sitting in the way of the son of Adam, any path to goodness. He doesn't want you to do it. He doesn't want you to execute it. What does shaytan want? اللهم ارزقه ذرية طيبة يا رب العالمين. اللهم ارزقه ذرية صالح يا رب. Remember last year we made dua for him that he get married. He got married. Allah accepted our dua. Alhamdulillah, finally. As a matter of fact, I give it up myself because I keep coming every year. I said, Sheikh, I haven't got married yet. I haven't gotten married yet. Then last time I saw him, then, you know, I kind of felt bad. So I want to give him hope. So I asked him, Osama, Sheikh Osama, how old are you now? He said, 49. He said, Alhamdulillah, only 11 years left. Just hanging there. You know, I'm referring to the hadith, the lifespan of my ummah between 60 and 70. So I said, only 11 years left, inshallah, in Jannah, inshallah.
You're going to have Hurul Ayn, inshallah. But alhamdulillah, Allah given it to him in this world. فمش عارف, what else? You want another try? Or لا خلاص, she's here. الله أكبر. ما شاء الله. جزاك الله خيرا شيخ أسامة. What does Shaitan want, يا إخوة؟ Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, listed 6. Let's go with 5 or 4 tonight. But he will not let you go. If you defeat him in the first, he's going to want the second. If you run away from the second, he's going to want the third from you. If you run away from, he's going to get something out of you. He's not going to leave you alone. Even we learn that at the bed of death, he actually tries. And we read that story في كتاب السنة to Abdullah, the son of Imam Ahmad, that when his father was dying, and Abdullah was trying to ask his father to say the kalima at the bed of death, La ilaha illallah. And Imam Ahmad would answer him saying, not yet. I'm not going to say it yet. Laysa ba'd. Laysa ba'd. Then his father fainted and he regained his consciousness. Then Abdullah was asking his father, Father, I was asking you to say La ilaha illallah, and you were telling me not yet. And he said, my son, I wasn't talking to you. Shaitan was telling me, فَلَتَّ مِنِّي يَا أَحْمَدْ. You escaped me, يَا أَحْمَدْ. And I'm telling him, I'm not dead yet. Not yet. He's going to keep doing it. What is the first thing, brothers and sisters in Islam? The one thing which will guarantee that the individual will accompany him in hell for eternity. Because Shaitan knows that his abode, eternal abode, is hell forever and ever. So now, the first thing that he wants from the human, to be with him in that place forever and ever and ever. So he wants La ilaha illallah from you. He wants shirk. And the hadith that I referred to a minute ago, hadith Sabra ibn Abi al-Fakih, fi Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, listen to this. إن الشيطان قعد لابن آدم بأطرقه. Shaitan is sitting in the way of the son of Adam, the way to goodness, the pathway to goodness, all the pathways to goodness. He's there waiting for you to stop you. Look, قعد له في طريق الإسلام. The first pathway is Islam. So when somebody wants to become a Muslim, look at what he will say to him. فَإِذَا أَرَادَ أَن يُسْلِمْ. When he wants to accept Islam, Shaitan will say the following to him. أَتُسْلِمْ وَتَذَرُ دِينَكْ وَدِينَ أَبِيكْ وَآبَاءِ أَبِيكْ. He will remind him actually of his ancestors. Are you going to become a Muslim and you abandon the religion of your fathers and your forefathers? And he whispers to his helpers from the human to do likewise. What did Abu Jahl say to Abu Talib at the bed of death? What did Abu Jahl remind when the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is asking his uncle, Ya Am, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Abu Jahl said what to him? Ya Abu Talib, أَتَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. You're going to leave the way of Abdul Muttalib? He wants your Islam. He wants your submission. He wants your tawheed. He wants shirk out of you. And unfortunately, he succeeded. Look at earth. Very few people in tawheed. Very few people in tawheed. حتى من أهل الإسلام سبحان الله شرك دب في الأمة. Go back to the Muslim world where Islam originated. People are worshipping the graves. They go and call upon the dead. People believe in saints. They do believe in that. هذا شرك. The first thing that Satan wants from us is shirk, kufr. But what if you manage and you said La ilaha illallah and you learn La ilaha illallah and alhamdulillah you did it? The next place, Muhammadur Rasulullah, il bid'ah. So you became a Muslim, he will take you to the bid'ah. Sufyan al-Thawri has a profound statement. You know what he said? Al-bid'atu ahabbu ila ash-shaytani min al-kabira. Al-bid'ah is more beloved to shaytan than the major sin. Why? Why? Because normally, those who exercise innovations, they believe that it is the religion. وهذه فتنة من فتن الشبهات. العلماء يقولون يا إخوة فتن الشبهات أعظم من فتن الشهوات. The fitan, the trials which are pertaining to misconceptions regarding the religion are more severe than the one pertaining to the whims and desires. Why? الرجل المرتكب الكبيرة, someone who commits a major sin, he knows it's haram. الفطرة, he knows it's haram. You know when a cat steals your food, but this happens in Egypt, not in Europe or where the pound is, the dollar is 20 pounds now. When the cat steals your food, the cat will never eat the food next to you. But when you throw the food to it, to the cat, it will eat it right next to you. Just go to Egypt and do this. You're going to find this out. Amazing. Fitra. Fitra. Like, subhanAllah, that brother or sister sitting in a lecture and maybe the sheikh is talking about التوبة والاستغفار, the heart will move, استغفر الله تبت إليك يا رب خلاص. وذلك في حديث يا إخوة في مستدرك الحاكم, that a lot of the people do not understand where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, والحديث صحيح الشيخ الألباني, the hadith is authentic, أبى الله أن يقبل توبة مبتدع. Allah refuses to accept the توبة of a مبتدع. But this is not the meaning of the hadith. You know what is meant? The مبتدع will never repent. Very few people involved in bid'ah will leave it. Because you need to understand that he believes that this is the true religion. What is he following is the true religion. وذلك الشيطان loves it. Why Shaitan loves it? First of all, he's wasting his time. He never receives the reward for what he does. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Whoever does an act not sanctioned by the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, approved. ما هو any عمل that you do, two conditions must be there beside your Islam. Sincerity, الإخلاص لله للعاف العمل, and adherence ومتابعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. المتابعة is not there. It's not going to be accepted. So he keeps doing the bid'ah, the bid'ah, the bid'ah, the bid'ah, the bid'ah, and he gets nothing at the end. For the second thing, brothers and sisters in Islam, is محمد رسول الله. طيب, what if you manage to get لا إله إلا الله straight? You're striving to follow the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Will he leave you alone? No. Major sins. He will come to you from الكبيرة, باب الكبيرة. He's going to want you to commit a major sin. And we know, at least with the major sin, he will enjoy your company in hell. He will enjoy the person's company. Let's not talk about us. The person's company in hell for a while. لأن من معتقدنا يا إخوة أن مرتكب الكبيرة, the one who commits a major sin, معتقد أهل السنة والجماعة, and he fails to repent from it, he does not repent from it, he may have to go to the hill for a while, go to hell for a while to pay for that major sin. But we don't decide that. We do not decide that. Dare you point fingers to someone who is guilty of a major sin and say you're going to go to hell for a while, because you don't know. Our mu'taqad, that individual, waqi'un tahta al-mashi'ah. Where do we get this from? Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha'. Allah will not forgive shirk, kufr. And this was the first thing that Satan wants from you. But he could, Allah would, may forgive anything else beside that. And some of these things are the major sin. For he wants the major sin from you. طيب, what if you escape the major sin? Alhamdulillah, you're away. He wants the minor. That's number four. الصغائر. وذلك, one of the things that Shaitan actually comes and tries to get to you, yeah, this is nothing. This is a small thing. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us against this when he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحَقِّرَاتِ الدُّنُوبِ. Be aware from belittling your sins. فَإِنَّهُنَّ يَجْتَمِعْنَ عَلَى الْعَبْدِ حَتَّى يُهْلِكْنَ. And he actually given a beautiful parable when he said, imagine a group of people traveling and they are in the desert and they want to roast some meat or cook a meal. So they will disperse in the desert and each one of them will come back with a straw and they will pile this up and they will make a fire from it. خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ صَغِيرِهَا وَكَبِيرِهَا فَهُوَ التُّقَى. واصنع كماش فوق أرض الشوك يحذر ما يرى ولا تحقرن صغيرة فإن الجبال من الحصى. Don't belittle a sin. Mountains are made of small stones. والمشكلة يا إخوة في الصغيرة, if you insist on it. The problem in the minor sins, if you insist on it. Because there is a principle out there which Abdullah ibn Abbas established when he said, لا كبيرة مع استغفار ولا صغيرة مع إصرار. There is no such a thing that there is a major sin. When you commit it, you go back and repent and ask Allah to forgive you. There is no major sin that's already cancelled out. طيب. ولا صغيرة مع إصرار. When you insist, when the individual insists on committing the minor sin, his إصرار, his persistence, consistency in committing that sin would turn it from a minor to a major sin. ولا تنظر إلى صغر الذنب ولكن انظر إلى عظم من عصيت. Don't look down upon the sin, but look at the greatness of the one you disobeyed. فكفر, بدعة, major sins, minor sins. What if you escape this, which is really hard? يعني, so far we're really, he's gonna come to you in the area of mubahat, المباحات, the permissible things. Subhanallah, one of the most amazing things that I used to personally do in the past, when you go and end up fishing for hours sitting in front of the sea in order to catch one fish, and you spend the half a day sitting out there. It's like, yeah, it's permissible, it's not haram. But نعمتان مغبون فيهما كثير من الناس الصحة والفراغ. This time is wasted, really. I mean, you could have done this in an hour and benefited from the best the rest of the time, but you're sitting out there doing nothing. Sitting out there half a day to catch one fish. Or the brothers who go, yani this is at least maybe we can say, oh, he's contemplating. But what about the brothers who say that I have a lot of free time at my hand, let me go and smoke some hookah in the shisha bar? Well, smoking is haram now, according to the jurists. But again, he's gonna eating too much, sleeping too much, talking too much. This is an area of things which are permissible, but shaitan actually would come and exceed. What do you want me to do? Oh, the full. No, you go ahead and announce it, inshallah.
Please forgive me for your interruption. Just want to make a quick announcement. The following cars are blocking some cars from leaving in the parking lot. They are BWLF709 White Dodge. The second car is BFNB159 Silver Honda. And the next two, BWCK098 and BVMY980. Either or, they are orange Mazda or black Toyota Corolla. So if your cars are blocking the cars, please remove them as soon as possible. Barakallahu feek.
So The last thing, Ya Ikhwa, which is number six. So you remember these steps, right? The first, what was number one? Shaitan wants from us shirk. And with shirk, he qualifies the individual to be with him in hell. Tayyib. What if you escape this one? Bid'ah. Tayyib. What if you escape this one? Major sins. With major sins, he gets the company of that individual for sometimes. Because we know that Ashabul Kabair, the people who committed major sins, they go out of hell because of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Major sins, then minor sins, then he gets you in the area of the permissible things. The last thing, if he doesn't get any of this, he tries to spoil your ibadah, messes up your ibadah. Didn't we read that when we're praying في الحديث we should take a sutra in front of us, and what happened? Shaitan could whisper to some of the people to cross and interrupt that connection. What did the Prophet say sallallahu alaihi wasallam about that individual? Fight him, because he's what? He's helping Shaitan out. He's not a shaitan yet, but he's helping shaitan out. That's what is meant. The whispers in the salah, ya ikhwa. Imagine when we stand up in salah, our brains becomes what? Central processing units. We remember everything. Everything. Subhanallah, sometimes we're inspired, of course, through shaitan, with solutions for problems that been bothering us for years. And so amazing when we say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, everything is forgotten. Everything is forgotten. He stops you from the ibadah. When you go to sleep at night, shaitan ties three knots right here. Numb. Sleep. You have long day, long night. You have long day tomorrow. Get some rest. Three knots tied in the back of your neck. When the person wakes up and he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with any of the adhkar, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi an-nushur, then one of the knots is untied. When he makes wudu, the second one is untied. And when he observes salah, the third one is uptied. He wants to mess up our ibadah. Don't we read Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Rubba sa'im, a person who fasts, all what he gets out of his fasting is what? Hunger and thirst. Certainly shaitan showing off and so forth. So the sixth place that he wants to do is to mess up your ibadah. Mess up the things that you're doing. Brothers and sisters in Islam, there are other things that shaitan does which could reflect that animosity and hate that he has against us. And one of these things, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to it in a hadith in Sahih al-Imam Muslim. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ قَدْ آيَسَ أَنْ يُعْبَدْ. Actually, shaitan, his wish is to be worshipped like Allah. He actually calls the people to his worship. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا الشَّيْطَانِ. So he actually calls people to his worship. So الشيطان, to some extent, he given up the hope in this one. But you know what he is satisfied with? ولكن رضي بالتحريش بينكم. Placing discords, animosity between us, dividing us. And he strikes in the first brick in the foundation of a Muslim community. You know the hadith that I started my talk with, that every day Shaitan places his throne on water? You know, at night, who gets crowned? Who? Who gets crowned by the Shaitan? We read in the hadith that, okay, everybody, report your accomplishments for the day. One of them will say, Mr. Satan, today I did not leave that Muslim until he committed adultery. Good job, good achievement. Sit down. The other one, you name it. Until this one stands up and says, what? Mr. Shaitan, today I did not leave a husband and wife until I did what? Separated them. He will say what? Ni'ma ant. You are my man. You are. Think about this for a minute. Reflect, billahi alik, ya ikhwa, our religion is a beautiful religion, just reason. Why? Why? Divorce is not haram, that's what you're saying. Listen, تستطيع, and I'm not encouraging you to divorce your wives, تستطيع أن تطلق المرأة الصوامة القوامة, as long as you're going to give her a right. فراق بالمعروف يعني. It's disliked, but it's not haram. It is disliked, but it's not haram. هذا الكلام أبغض الحلال عند الله, لا يصح. لم يرد في حديث يعني. But killing is haram, drinking is haram. That's a major sin. Why? Because Shaitan is very strategic. Listen, we believe that jinn do die, by the way. Jinn die, like the human. But Shaitan is exempt because he requested what? An-nazra, the respite, to live. But al-jinn yamutun. The other jinn, by the way, they do die. They have a lifespan and they die. But Shaitan doesn't die. So Shaitan doesn't want to waste his time. He's very strategic. He can plan 3, 4, 5, 6 generations from now. He understands now that if he divorces, if a husband and wife are divorced, he makes a lot of accomplishments out of this deal. One of them is weakening the future generations. Because in a divorce, brothers and sisters in Islam, who pays the price? Who? The children. The husband, he goes and get married. The wife, she goes and get married. But who pays the price? The children have to spend the time with the stepfather, stepmother. And going through the divorce, Muslims now, it's like crazy. Imagine, he would be sitting with his mom and she's gossiping about her father. Your father is awful. I divorced him because of this. He's a liar. He's a cheat. He cheats. That's his father. And when he goes and spends the time with the mother, guess what? The father is doing the same. So you end up what? With weak, psychologically defeated. That's not the normal course of action for a child. Brothers and sisters in Islam, this is why adultery is haram in Islam. Because one of the holistic aims of Islam, of Sharia, of the religion of Islam, is the protection of the progeny, the next generation is entitled to come into this world to live in a house where there is a husband and wife together. Because this is the right way to bring up the next generation. So you end up with weaker generations. Easy to take astray. Easy to deceive. فشيطان wants to bring discord amongst us, divide us. The thing is called divide and conquer. Add to this, brothers and sisters in Islam, when we have bad discord, bad relationships, we actually end up wasting the good things we've done. When you do bad things to one another, these are called injustices. In the day of judgment, you have to pay back. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fil hadith asked his companions, "Atadruna mal muflis? Who is the bankrupt?" قالوا يا رسول الله, they said, "O Messenger of Allah, al muflis man la dirham lahu wa la mata'." The bankrupt is someone who does not have cash nor assets. He said, "No." المفلس من أمتي, the bankrupt from my ummah, who will come in the day of judgment with what? Salah, zakah. He did. He had tawheed. He did ibadah. But shatamaha, he insulted this one, backbit this one, he killed this one. Now he's going to have to pay this back from his hasanat. فالشاهد يا إخوة, شيطان wants tahrish. He wants animosity amongst us. That's why, ya ikhwa, brotherhood is a key. Wallahi lan tadkhulu al-jannata hatta tu'minu wa lan tu'minu hatta tahabbu. Ala adullukum ala shay'in idha ma fa'altumuhu tahabbtum afshu as-salama baynakum. By Allah, you will never be able to enter, be permitted to Jannah, unless you attain Iman. And there is no way you're going to attain Iman unless you love one another, the perfect Iman, unless you love one another. Shall I direct you to something? If you do, this will lead you to love one another, spread peace amongst one another. For this is another thing that the shaitan wants from us. Like I said, brothers and sisters in Islam, in closing, shaitan doesn't give up. And he's not gonna come to you requesting kufr from you. He's not. He has steps. And there are five verses in the Quran warning us against the steps of shaitan. Ya ayyuha الذina amanu, la tattabi'u khutuwat الشيطان. So he's not going to come to somebody who's righteous and pious, totally committed, and he's going to tell him, "Come, let me take you to kufr." No. Like we stare down, if the person is up, he's going to stare up. Step by step. This is why that statement is very profound. عالم واحد, a knowledgeable person, أشد على الشيطان من ألف عابد, stronger on shaitan than 1,000 devout Muslims, but they lack the knowledge. Why? Because the learned person knows where the shaitan can come to him, can deceive him. I shared with you a minute ago what Imam Ahmad said to his son. You know what the shaitan is trying to do to Imam Ahmad? What? You know when he says to him, فَلَتَّ مِنِّي يَا أَحْمَدْ, you scared me, يَا أَحْمَدْ. He's trying to make Imam Ahmad feel arrogant. That, oh, look at me. I did it. Shaitan is admitting that I escaped him. I won. He said, not yet. Not yet. Not yet. He knows his tricks. فالشيطان will come to you and build you up. You know when Adam عليه السلام was banned from eating from the tree, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him not to eat from the tree. And he warned him that Satan is going to try to get you in trouble. When Satan came to Adam, Satan did not say to Adam, shall I tell you, come and eat from the tree, Adam? No. What did he say to him? قَالَ يَا آدَمُ هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ, I just want to show you the tree. You know that tree you're not supposed to eat? I just want to show it to you. No, astaghfirullah, you're not going to eat from it. Astaghfirullah, you're not going to eat from it. But I just want to show it to you. And some of these sins were supposed not to come near it. Like what, ya ikhwa? Like what? وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Do not come near adultery. What else? إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوا. Don't come near it to begin with. Intoxicants, gambling, and so forth. He's not going to come to you straight wanting you to do this. I want to close with the beautiful verse which our young Imam, may Allah reward him for his beautiful recitation, recited Surah Ibrahim. Subhanallah, ya ikhwa, Shaitan will have a final sermon in hell addressing his followers, those whom he managed to misguide, and he succeeded to actually have their company in hell for eternity. نسأل الله ألا نكون منهم يا رب العالمين. وقال الشيطان لما قضي الأمر. He will take the pulpit like this and he will address, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعْدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ. Allah has promised you certain promises in the dunya, and they were truthful promises, promises of truth. And I promised you, but I broke my promise. فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. أنا عيل يعني من الآخر كده. ضحكت عليكم. I tricked you. Look, وما كان لي عليكم من سلطان. But listen, I had no power over you إلا أن دعوتكم. ما هو, you need to remember something. We're talking about شيطان and jinn being the force of that triggers evil inclination, nawazi' al-shar inside us. But listen, shaitan works on what you have inside you. So really your nafs is the imminent enemy that you have, yourself first. Shaitan uses the weakness of your nafs. Like Ibn al-Qayyim, ikhwa, depicted this in a very fascinating way. He said, imagine a mountain that you're climbing. The mountain is your nafs. The things that you have to work on inside you, yourself. And Shaytan is in the top of that mountain. And he's telling you, you can't do it. You cannot do it. No, you cannot cross that. Yeah. Let's just go into that. Don't let's go this way, that way. I had no authority, no power. I didn't beat you in your hands. وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. I beautified everything for you. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not rebuke me, rather rebuke yourselves. مَا أَنَا بِ And if we rebuke one another now, مَا أَنَا بِمُصْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُصْرِخِي. There is no help anymore. You can't help me, I can't help you. إِنِّي كَفَرْتُ بِمَا أَشْرَكْتُمُونِ مِنْ قَبْلِ إِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. This is the direct and straight encounters between us and Shaytan, brothers and sisters in Islam. One of the ways to protect yourself from this is knowledge, learning your deen, learning what tawheed is, what bid'ah is, what a major sin is, what a minor sin is, so that you do not fall into this stuff. وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْجَزَنَّ. Place your reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do the best. And remember, it's only 60 to 70 years and the test will be done. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يحسن ختامنا يا رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خيرا. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك، والحمد لله رب العالمين.